Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
I have major concerns about Caleb Williams. Like major, major concerns. Why would you tell a writer this? Why would you be talking about this with a writer and then not go through with it? I feel like he either gets really bad advice or his awareness rating on Madden needs to go down like 30 points.
That's Ross Tucker on the Mully and Haw Show talking about Bears quarterback Caleb Williams. Along with Dan Weider, I am Mark Grody. We are in for Rahimi and Harris today. This segment being brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. And we are taking your phone calls, too, here. 312-644-6767. If you want to talk Bears with the Take the North guys about this topic or others, we figured, you know, as long as we're here, if you've got questions about the Bears, about this very topic or other things, we are here for you at 312-644-6767. Text messages I can't keep up with right now. They're coming in hot and heavy at the moment. And let me make this clear. I am one of the people that, and I think many people still, I'm not unique in this way, I still think Caleb Williams has a chance to be great. I really do. Even before Ben Johnson got here. That obviously helps. But there's just too many skills, some of which maybe at the NFL level are still raw, for me to think that he can't do that. And too many throws that I saw him make last year that make me believe, oh, just smooth some things out. This guy still has a chance to be great. But guess what? I'm also going to grade him on the fact that he is a number one overall pick,
yep.
That he's a generational, you know, put that in air quotes if you'd like, a generational talent. So I will grade him like that. And I will do relative to rookie, of course. There are some excuses that can be had. But I'll, and Dan will too, we're going to call it like we see it. So Dan, you didn't get a chance to react yet fully to what Ross Tucker said about Caleb. We're very critical of Caleb Williams, obviously.
Yeah, I've got a handful of thoughts. You hear Ross there say he has major concerns. That would seem to be a double major in concern from an NFL analyst about the starting quarterback here. Uh-huh. What I think it does for me is it further illuminates the range of possibility here. Like Caleb could be a 15-year starter that leads the Bears to 9 playoff appearances, and none of us would be surprised. He also might not get a second contract with the Bears, and few of us would be surprised, right? Like, that's the range of playing quarterback in a market like this with the expectation and the pressures that are there. And so it's just a reminder at how difficult that job is, how steep this climb is. It reminds me also of Ryan Poles going to a microphone on the day that Ben Johnson was introduced as the new head coach, being asked about what Ben's arrival would do for Caleb and saying, Caleb will be challenged to be a professional football player to do the little things the right way. That's the leader of your front office talking about your starting quarterback being challenged to be a professional football player. And so there's obvious thoughts inside the building that there is a maturation process that has to continue for Caleb Williams. There are demands that he has to meet. There are checkpoints he has to reach. And 2025 is going to be a huge season given what they've put around him, from the play caller to the interior of the offensive line to the playmakers, as we've mentioned. 2023 on the Take the North podcast before your arrival was the No Excuses Tour for Justin Fields. I don't think we're at the No Excuses Tour yet for Caleb, but we're at the Fewer Excuses Tour. And 2025 better be a year where Caleb starts to show evidence that his trajectory is going in the right direction, and by extension, the Bears' trajectory is going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, you do need to see discernible difference from Caleb Williams in all of the areas that we know were problems for him. Yes, he got to get rid of the ball more quickly. Like I said, the beginnings of games, like there, maybe other people were to blame, but guess what? That's the quarterback who the one common denominator was Caleb Williams in the beginnings of games this year.
Do you remember in December when we were here from some of the coaches that were still left in the building, whether it be Chris Beatty or Thomas Brown or Kerry Joseph, and they were talking about how Caleb needed to learn how to learn, right? Like, and there was this extension of a conversation of, look, as a young player in this league, and specifically at that position, you have to put together routines and habits that help you be successful. And so that process was clearly ongoing down the stretch of his rookie season, clearly did not get the guidance and oversight from Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron that the Bears were banking on. And so now as Caleb turns the page and starts to work with a new coach and a new group of assistants around Ben Johnson, he's got to figure out how he invests in this process of improvement.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, absolutely.
That's a huge step in this. It's a huge piece of this puzzle.
Mm-hmm. And it's not and we've talked about this on Take the North many times. It's not an indictment of his character or anything like that. It's just the overall, like, he's got to learn how to be a quarterback. That's what you said. I'm also thinking, too, I do believe, Dan, that the conversation with Kerry Joseph, I believe you and I were in that conversation together in the atrium, just one of the many moments where you and I became a team,
yeah.
Some of which we will play later on today. Well, because you and I have both had some really fun moments.
Yeah.
At different ends of the locker
gelling
room.
The process of becoming a team.
We
sure.
became a team, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's get to some calls here because they are lining up right now. 312-644-6767. We got a couple lines open, too, if you guys want to jump in. But let us start with Paulie. Paulie, you are on the Raheemy and Harris Show with Mark Grody and Dan Weeder. What's cooking?
Hey, guys. Great show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Paulie.
Two knowledgeable guys talking football. I love it. So I almost drove off the road when I heard Ross Tucker.
Oh, boy.
Okay? I could not agree more. And I've been telling my friends this for the last couple of weeks. Caleb Williams is not Johnson's type of quarterback. He's going to make do with him for 3 years. He hopes he does his best. They are definitely not giving that guy $50 million in his fifth year and $70 million in his sixth. You wouldn't be able to build up the rest of the team, and he won't be that good. He's too short. He can't play from under center. He's inaccurate downfield. He can't read defenses. 52 of his 68 sacks, he held the ball for longer than 4 seconds, okay? So here's the game plan. And Johnson's a math guy, and his brother's a math guy on steroids, right? An MIT grad, gazillionaire, quantum computer dude. So they both have access to these computers, and it's all probability nowadays in math. Get the ball in your playmaker's hands as quickly as possible in a one-on-one situation. That's the way to win. The offense always has the last move, so the defense has to react to what the offense does. It's a total advantage. The Bears aren't going to get over 8.5. They're going to be fun to watch. They're going to score a ton of points. They still need to build up their defense, and this is going to be a year of adjustment. But as far as Caleb Williams, they're going to get the ball out of his hands. They're not going to depend on him to make decisions. He is not Johnson's type of QB.
Paulie, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Well thought out. Get back on the road there, buddy. We don't want you driving off the road. Shout out to everybody on the roads right now. It's the holiday weekend, so I'm guessing there's probably a ton of traffic out there. So, hey, everybody, be careful out there. The inaccuracies were real last year at times, Dan, and it was a surprise, I think, to everybody, including Caleb Williams. I mean, because Caleb Williams said, yeah, that's never been part of my repertoire.
Right.
Even when we talked to him about it, his touchdown to interception ratio, he's like, I don't know why you guys are talking about interceptions. Interceptions has never been part of my story either. So I think that Caleb was just as confounded, man, about the inaccuracies that he had last year. So that seems like something to me that can be fixed, that you look at and say, there is reason to believe Caleb Williams can become more accurate at the NFL level.
Well, right. And I think the one thing I'd push back on from Paulie's call there is the fact that Caleb is not Ben Johnson's type of quarterback. Well, he better be, because Ben Johnson bet part of his career on Caleb Williams being a guy that he could bring the best out of. And so when you talk about becoming a better under center quarterback, that's got to happen here in May and June and late July and into August. And Caleb's got to master that part of things under Ben. They've got to figure out what this offense looks like. I think when you go back and you study the evolution of the Lions in the 3 years that Ben was the play caller, the marriage to the run game is incredible to watch, right? Like, everything started with how dedicated they were to the running game, how they turned loose that offensive line to do what it did best, and then all of a sudden you create play action. Jared Goff last year threw for 4,600 yards, 37 touchdowns, and passer rating of 111.8. Like, there'd be three statues of him out in front of Soldier Field if he put those numbers up as a Chicago Bear. Caleb Williams has got to lean into the teachings of a offensive mastermind and a play caller who has shown in this league that he can be highly productive with the pieces that he's given to work with. And so Ben's now got to take this new set of pieces and put together that puzzle. Caleb's got to be an active part of that process of being vocal. What do I like? What am I uncomfortable with? Of the things I'm uncomfortable with, what can we, increase the comfort in, and what do we just throw out? And that's why I think this next stretch here is so critical, right? Like this May, June, July, August stretch is so critical because you know as well as I do, there's not going to be forgiveness if it takes past the bye week for Caleb Williams to look good, right? Like people are going to be on edge in this city and the Bears are going to have to adjust to that. Would you agree?
Like, yeah, that, no, that, like, Dan, pressure is the word. There is a lot of pressure in
those
now,
two opening games, right? Like
Minnesota, and yeah, and that week, what are we going to be talking about? Caleb Williams wanted to play for Kevin O'Connell in the Minnesota Vikings, as per the article. So, and then even like it's fun stuff, but even Ben Johnson, like there's so much pressure on Ben Johnson too. He doesn't wear it, and he hasn't really elicited.
He hasn't been here long enough.
Yeah, but he set up the pressure against Matt LaFleur. That's already out there. The Minnesota thing and kept. Oh, you wanted to play for you wanted to play for Kevin O'Connell, you know, which maybe is a question we should have asked the coach the other day. But there is so much built-in pressure, like outside stuff. Let alone, as you said, home against Minnesota at Detroit to begin the season. And really quick before we get back to your calls, I see you guys. We're going to get you 312-644-6767. Will you share the nugget, if you have it off the top of your head, about the tush push and Ben Johnson didn't really use it Detroit?
No,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And I talked to Dave Burkett, who covers the Lions very closely.
That's right.
And has for years. And he said if they used it, they used it one time, you know, in 3 years with Ben as a play caller. So he likes to find things in the playbook that work for him, and that's fine. You know, just make sure it works. I shared with you and Ray and Robbie before the show that the Lions scored 68 touchdowns on offense last season. The Bears over the last two seasons combined, 68 offensive touchdowns.
I love when you share. But I didn't like hearing that. We all were like, oh, my God.
Like staggering, right? Like staggering.
Yeah, that's staggering. That's a good word. Sam, on the west side. What's up, Sam? You're on the score.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're great. I mean, really, just great.
Well, I'm going to be the anti-Pauly, and I'll tell you, I didn't like the piece by Tucker at all.
Okay.
Give you just a second. I played quarterback at a pretty fair level.
Nah, I don't know about that. Did you, Sam?
I did. My college career got killed before it started on injury, but
sorry, bud.
I was good enough to head out to Alabama for a second.
Wow.
So,
whoa.
Anyways, I'm just going to say this. As far as the comments that Caleb Williams made, 21-year-old kids, who cares what comes out of their mouth? It's nonsense. Anyway, anything out of his father's mouth, that's another thing. I just don't like it. It seems like this city, they can't accept success. They always got to be beating down on stars and trying to break them down. I think this kid, if I was drafting today, I still would have took him number one. He's better than the kid from Washington.
Jaden
Daniels.
He's going
to prove that.
Yeah.
Yep. The one thing I noticed about him right off the bat was I thought the game was too fast for him. And toward the end of the year, I saw him making some improvements. But where quarterbacks earn their money, especially in the NFL, is on the last drive of the game when you're going for that final score and on third downs. And this kid passed the eye test on both of them.
Yeah. All right, Sam, appreciate the call. And sorry about your derailed Alabama quarterback career. I don't know, man. Maybe he was. I'm not really sure.
The one thing he said there that made me recoil is he said, this city can't accept success. And my response is, what success? Like I'm going on season 13 on the beat. The Bears have never won a playoff game. They still don't have a 4,000-yard passer. They've never had anyone throw for 30 touchdowns. This city would gladly accept success. In fact, a lot of times they proclaim success before success has occurred. See Justin Fields' 3-year career.
Well, we're doing a lot of that in this offseason, too. I haven't heard a lot of people pick losing records for the Bears this year. I got them at 9-8. Did you find 9 wins, Dan?
We found the 9th. Yeah. You and I both talked about how we actually had to kind of find the 9th win. I think this is an 8-9 win team.
Yeah.
Schedule's got teeth to it, right? And then when you look at that schedule laid out, you're like, oh, God. Like, you've got to actively search for that 9th win. Man, this city can't accept success. They're just desperate to see actual success instead of sort of the fool's gold success that we're so often tricked by.
Right, and I do give tons of credit to Bears fans because Bears fans have been through a ton, but they just don't fall off. They don't go away. They are I mean, maybe there's a period of time at the end of the season where they get out of here and they go to some sunny place, but then they refresh. They hit there is a Bears refresh button that is – they lost 10 games in a row last year, Dan, and yeah. Most of the texts that we're getting right now, they want Rex Tucker taken out. Ross Tucker, they want him taken out, basically, is the conclusion.
We all remember the infamous 2021 Zoom call with the Bears brass after the season ended. I think it was 21. Yeah, right. Like, yeah, I mean, you remember those moments where you're just struck by it. And there was a reaction from fans like, I'm done with this team. I'm never watching this team again. We're never coming back. And then they drafted Justin Fields, and it was like, this is the greatest day in Chicago sports history. I can't wait to buy my jersey.
And Soldier Field is sold out every single game, no matter what. God bless
you,
Bears.
They can't stay away. They can't.
No, you can't, and you shouldn't. And that's why we talk about it. We love it, too. And as I always say, at the heart of it, I am one of you. I grew up one of you. I am an objective reporter now, but I always say when I retire, I'll probably go back to being a Bears fan in some way, shape, or form.